Welcome to What Matters Most.
We are dedicated to educating the community about holistic, metaphysical, and spiritual topics.
Each week, we discuss things that matter most in life, the things that are most important to you that may have fallen to the wayside.
We are always centered on the idea of simplifying life, connecting with our neighbors, and following our true paths.
Our mission is to empower you to live the life that you've always dreamed of living.
We invite you to focus your life on what matters most.
Welcome to What Matters Most.
We are dedicated to educating the community about holistic, metaphysical, and spiritual topics.
Each week, we discuss things that matter most in life, the things that are most important to you that may have fallen to the wayside.
We are always centered on the idea of simplifying life, connecting with our neighbors, and following our true paths.
Our mission is to empower you to live the life that you've always dreamed of living.
We invite you to focus your life on what matters most.
Welcome to What Matters Most. This is Kristen and Maria from Experience Nirvana. Today's message and focus is help from heaven, guided messages from angels. Later on in the show, we're going to be having Dr. Joy Peterson, who's a doctor of divinity, and she communicates with, appears to be many angels, but mostly Archangel Michael.
Yeah, and Joy, the message that she wants to share with us is going to be very, very profound, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, what we want to do is share some stories and experiences of our own encounters with angels.
Right. This goes back, you know, we were talking about this, and we were talking about the fact that there used to be a show on TV. It was on for quite a period of time. Touched by an Angel.
Right.
And as we were talking about it, we were even reflecting about what a nice show that was, and it was such a shame that they took that off the air. But right around the same time frame that that show had all its popularity, there was another show that came on a little bit later. I don't think it was the same day, and it was more of a documentary, and it kind of piggybacked.
Do you remember the name of it?
I don't. I wish I did, because I remember flipping through the channels and just kind of stumbling upon it, and then I realized that it was like a weekly show. It might have came on Saturday nights, and it had to do with people that they interviewed that had encounters with angels. And, you know, there's always been, I think even though a lot of people may not believe in all the metaphysical stuff that you and I are involved in, I think the fact that the acceptance of angel communication has been much more out there.
Right.
And it's not such a thing that people would kind of look at you and go, what are you talking about, you
know? Right.
So this show really, they went out there, they had people come in that had personal experiences with angels. And I remember very distinctly one show that I thought was very significant. It was a man and a woman. They were somewhere. They were on a trip. They did a hiking excursion.
Oh, right.
And wherever they were hiking, it was a place that they weren't very familiar with, and they knew that the terrain was rocky and very steep, but I guess they kept feeling like, well, let's keep going. And I believe that what happened was they were doing this for such an extent of time that at one point they were so challenged with it that they kind of thought, well, we should just keep going because then we'll come down the other side or another way.
Right.
Because this is like a little bit more than we actually had anticipated tackling.
Right.
The long and short of it was that when they got to basically whatever would have been more or less the end or the point where they couldn't go on any further,
right,
it was a drop. And to get down was almost like, oh my gosh, how are we going to make our way down here? I believe that the day had, like, it was already, like, starting to get to be dark or whatever. I don't recall whether they actually slept there and then tried to venture back during the daylight. But whatever it was, I remember the gal explaining her situation or their situation about them having to actually cling to the walls of this steep mountain, and that it was so frightening of an experience, and that she did not think that they would make it down again, and they were frightened. They were really, really frightened. The long and short of it is, whatever transpired, he didn't make it. He lost his footing in whatever mannerism they were trying to get down, and he fell to his death. This actually intensified her feeling of fear.
Because he just died.
Right. And she's thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get down?
I'm going to die.
And so she said that she recalled very distinctly having, at that point, where she thought, this is it. It's over. I'm a goner. My life is done. That she started to have this communication with angels. And I don't remember if it was one or many angels, but they were actually guiding her as to what to do. And she felt that hands were actually on her back, keeping her safe. And that she did finally make it all the way down. And she said, really, when she looked back up and she saw how she had to maneuver down this treacherous terrain or rocky mountainside, whatever it happened to be, she knew that there was no way that she could have done this on her own, because it was really a miraculous feat. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, she heard and she felt, you know, don't look down, move your foot this way, hold on to here, just keep focusing. She was guided step by step by step along the way. And of course, when she got to the bottom, you know, that was when she was overjoyed, but then at the same time heartbroken, because she'd seen that her partner did not make it. What was significant for me about this story was that, and other stories that they had, some of them weren't quite so impactful. You know, there were stories about people that had a wonderful service done to them. There was one person, I believe, that they were going through a very bad period of time in their life, and they really didn't have any food, or maybe it was companionship, and that this person they encountered in a store or something very nonchalant had kind of more or less temporarily befriended them and invited them over to their home and had made a dinner for them. Huh. And they went to the person's house and they sat down, they ate dinner, they had a wonderful, you know, conversation. The conversations that they had, there was something that was said to them that really had a major impact in affecting their life, and maybe were words that they needed to hear. And they recall that whatever was said changed their life. And so they went back, like, the next week to that same place.
Right.
And there was nobody there. The apartment was completely empty.
That's crazy.
And that they actually even knocked on the door of the landlord and they said, nobody's been here.
That is the craziest thing I've
ever heard. So some of them aren't quite, some of those stories weren't quite as, oh my gosh, can you believe this?
Right, right.
Some of them were more subtle encounters with angels.
Well, that doesn't sound very subtle.
Well, you know, maybe not as, like, your life is going to be over, but
right,
there's
right,
always,
right.
There seems to be a very common denominator with these angel encounters, that they help you through a critical period in your life.
Right.
They give you, they help you continue on. They're there for help. They're help for a, help from heaven. Exactly the title of the our show. And so I personally always, I shouldn't say always, when I was watching these shows, I thought, gee, I don't know if I really am in belief of this. I was doubtful. And I thought, I would like to have experienced an encounter with an angel, because I'm not so sure, being a doubting Thomas, that I really believe this unless I can experience it on my own.
Of course.
So.
Well, didn't you have an encounter?
And I did. I did have an encounter.
Quickly, because we only have a few more minutes.
I'm not so sure I can talk quickly, but anyway. Yeah, Kristen, you and I, you recall this encounter. But you saw it from a different angle.
We were riding bikes on the road.
On the road.
And ended up,
what happened was that I had stopped my bike on the corner of a road, and the road slanted down. The grade was, I guess they had just recently paved. Anyway, when I went to go put my foot down,
The bike tipped over.
The bike tipped over,
right.
Because there was no ground for my...
Right.
And it would have been, I think, a critical fall for me, just because there was nowhere.
It was a really steep ditch.
It was full of rocks. But the thing that was really crazy about it is that as it was almost as if when that happened, everything went into slow motion. And as the bike started to tip, there was a pull on the corner of the road, the street sign.
A pull, you're right.
Right. And I remember grabbing and thinking that I should grab for the pole. And all of a sudden, at that point, it was as if I couldn't see anything. It was almost like I was surrounded by a shroud of, it was like I was in the clouds. That's what I would say. I don't know how else to describe it. And I remember hearing in my voice, in my head, just relax, just relax. And I actually felt as if I had been lifted up. And I remember falling to the ground.
What did it look like? Gliding. That's what you were going to say, gliding.
I was going to say gliding, and I wasn't really sure if that was the right word.
I remember when she landed, it looked like she just plopped onto the couch.
And actually where I fell, if you remember, the ground, they had just seeded, and they put all straw down.
I remember that.
But what was really crazy about it was...
The whole thing was...
It was really, really crazy, because when I fell, I should have fallen face forward. But if you recall,
you turned around.
When I landed on my back.
That's crazy.
And I wasn't a lightweight person at that time either.
Hell, none of us are.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it wasn't like I was a 120-pound lightweight gal that just kind of flipped herself around.
Right.
And, you know, like I had all of this acrobatic ability
and
all
flippity
of that. Pretty, you know, like bloop, bloop, you know.
Right.
So, honestly, but I just remember hearing... just relax. And when I heard those words, there was nothing about it that would have even made me question it. I remember thinking, oh, it was like a sense of peace. It was hearing divinity.
Right.
And so I have to say, my request came true because I had put that intention out there. I don't know if I believe that angelic encounters really exist.
You did that before then?
Yeah. I really have to experience it myself. And lo and behold, so I can attest for the fact that they do happen. Now, maybe not to quite, you know, maybe people are not going to experience it to that level.
What I'd like to put out there is if you have had your own angel experience, email us at info@experiencenirvana.org, and we'll share some of those maybe on our next airing.
Yeah, because what we can
and
actually...
We don't even have to list your name. We can just... I'd love to just share people to let people know it can happen, and there are angels out there that are there to help us.
If you can send us your information, we'll get in touch with you, because maybe there's a way that going forward that we might be able to record those and get them on another show.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, anyway... coming up next is Dr. Joy Peterson, and she's going to share with us a very special message from Archangel Michael. He has a special message just for us, just for our listeners today. With Dr. Joy Peterson, Joy is a doctor of divinity and an ordained minister, licensed spiritual healer, and certified spiritual health coach. Joy applied the skills of networking and the techniques commonly referred to today as the secret to land a career in the entertainment industry, including television publicity at Paramount on shows such as Cheers, Happy Days, and Family Ties, just to name a few. Joy is also a noted business consultant and networker with a celebrated international clientele. She works closely with individuals and businesses of all sizes to overcome their challenges with money, relationships, career, business, health, and well-being. She's also the founder of her business, Express Success. Welcome, Joy. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Joy, you are such a successful person in the entertainment industry. You left all of that behind. So why don't we share with our listeners, what made you decide to make that transition and move into the spiritual realm?
Well, I had already started my interest in the spiritual area when I first went to Hollywood. And I realized that using things like the law of attraction were very helpful in me getting the career that I wanted. And I also realized that a lot of other people were struggling with their, whether it's their right career or anything else that they wanted, and I wanted to make a bigger difference in the world. Working in television was very glamorous and fun. but I was working in with the celebrities and the Hollywood stories at PM Magazine, for example, and that was fun, but it wasn't changing lives, so mm-hmm. I really wanted to make a difference.
And so when you initially started out becoming more involved with this, did you... You do communication with Archangel Michael. I know that you have a book out. It's being released this week. Is it this week, Joy?
I'm launching it this week.
Launching it this week, Wisdom of the Guardian. But did you start out with communicating with my Archangel Michael, or how did you start out?
Actually, when I first moved back from L.A. to New Jersey, I was watching a television show called The Other Side, which was about paranormal and different topics like that, and they had someone doing automatic writing on there, and as a whim I tried it and wrote 18 pages, which kind of surprised me. So apparently I had a natural ability for it. I just never had the opportunity to implement it. So when I started meditating in the morning, I started using automatic writing as a in conjunction. So I would write a list of, you know, should I do this, this, or this, and we'd get yes or no answers, and then I would get pages or paragraphs of information. So I was getting most of my information directly from Divinity at the time, and that was that guidance. But then in 2004, Archangel Michael came to me, and then a lot of other angels, and actually since then my whole life really changed direction.
Wow. So... What I don't understand is when he came to you, how did you know it was him and not another archangel? Did he actually announce himself to you?
You know, it's almost been so long that I don't even know what it was like without him. It was pretty much like an announcement in some regards. I was getting, what happened really is I was getting information. God was telling me in my meditations that I'm going to find out who I am, and
oh.
kept getting that message, and it was sort of startling because I'm thinking, I know who I am.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I know I'm Joy Peterson, I know I'm a child of God, you know, but I kept getting that message, and I was so curious of what that meant, and then was finally told that I was actually an incarnated angel, and I was here to do specific work at this time, and that's when basically Michael showed up after that.
I see. So is there a way that we can maybe listen better to angels? How do we know when they're speaking to us and not our spirit guides?
Well, it doesn't really matter if it's them or your spirit guides. They're there to help. And the whole problem we have is that we're not listening. They're talking to us all of the time. They have... They try every which way in order to get their messages across to us, because often we want to hear the answer, but we're too impatient or don't understand how they're delivering the messages. But they're communicating with us all the time. Sometimes if you hear a buzz in your ear, sometimes they're downloading information. Other times they might be speaking directly to us, and if we stop and listen, we'll hear that the message is really not our own thoughts, but it's them. But because we often can't decipher, they'll communicate the messages they want us to hear through our friends, coworkers. If you hear a message three different times, you know, they're usually trying to communicate that's a good thing for you, or you know, stop and listen. It might be in a sign, a billboard, an ad, a song. So if you notice something keeps showing up, that's their efforts.
So it's not always so obvious. It doesn't always have to be smacking you right in the face. It could be something as simple as a billboard, and the whole point is for us to really take notice.
Correct.
I see. Well, and that's sneaky, too, because a lot of times we don't even listen to, I mean, even if we get, you know, a thought in our head, you know, even if it's a couple times, I know myself, a lot of times I'll kind of keep shooing it away, so maybe it's also trying to listen to our intuition a little bit more as well.
If you can listen to your intuition, you are so far ahead of anyone. It's incredible, because it's your intuition that is guiding you.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, Joy, I know that you mentioned to us that Archangel Michael actually communicated a message, a special message, just for us. Is there, can you share that with us?
Yes. You'll have to bear with me because I have to read it.
Sure, of course.
I'll definitely share the message with you. He said, "Dear listeners, thank you for tuning into this very important message. It gives me an opportunity to speak to you directly to alert you to the days and years ahead. You have nothing to fear unless you have lived your life less desirably. God knows your heart. He judges you by your intentions more than your actions. Your actions are important as well, but what matters most is what is in your heart. God hears your cries, feels your pain, and relishes in your joy and laughter. He wants the highest and best for you always, but you do not always choose wisely in order to receive the highest and best that is available to you. When you look at yourself and yourself alone, and judge the circumstances surrounding you based on your own heart and rhythm, you will know better what to do. When you judge circumstances by comparing yourself to others, wishing to be the Joneses, desiring life to be different, you come from a place of dissatisfaction. That dissatisfaction permeates your decisions and actions, tarnishing your outer results. I say this to you, align with your heart and soul, and allow yourself to be guided to what is the highest and best for you, and only accept that into your life. When you come from your heart, you will have a life beyond imagination. Trust in what I say here. You are one with God when you align with your heart center. When you listen to your heart's desire, you align with what is for your soul rather than what you think you should be or have. Trust your heart over your head. Be led by your heart rather than your head. Your heart will never lead you astray unless it is tempted by darkness that has masked itself as something desirable.
Hmm.
Connect to your soul and you will know the difference. What is right for you will always be clear. If there is doubt, there is a challenge of discernment to consider. Clear the cause of the doubt and you will have a clear knowing pertinent to the situation. That is all. Peace be with you, Archangel Michael."
Wow, that was absolutely, what's interesting, Joy, that he actually mentioned in there what matters most.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that myself.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's beautiful.
Let me, is Archangel Michael a bit of, have a bit of a...
sense of humor.
Sense of humor.
He definitely has a sense of humor.
Wow. That's great.
And I will share that. I will put that on my blog, angelenlightenment.com, so your listeners can actually... see it in hard copy, because I know that was a lot to digest in a couple minutes.
Absolutely.
My question is, I noticed that he mentioned in the beginning, there's nothing to fear. And when I heard that, maybe just because of my thoughts recently, does that have anything to do with 2012 coming? Because that's what it made me think of.
It made me think that, too. Well, only because it's on my mind, too.
Right.
Yes, there's a lot of everything is being stepped up, including my work, is in preparation for 2012 and heaven on earth. And the biggest, I guess the biggest dilemma is that people have often been misguided. They've gotten off track. And the biggest part of the message, whether it's in Wisdom of the Guardian, Michael's book, or in the talks that he has me giving, is that he wants people to really take notice that they must choose God at this point.
Hmm.
It's imperative that people choose God. Some people are on the fence. Some people are afraid of God. There's a lot of issues relating to God, and people really need to overcome them, choose God to move forward to have heaven on earth, and the choice is theirs. And as the message also mentions, it's the purity of heart. It's life is going to be changing. Our money system is going to be changing. Our money system is going to be based on purity of heart. No one will be able to manipulate people in the future. If people have acquired a lot of money and power through less than desirable means, they may not have the money that they're used to currently in the future.
Wow.
So a lot of things are going to be changing. I don't know all of what that means, but I know what's mostly crucial at the moment is they need to wake up and choose God. And as Michael even mentions in his book, there's like nothing better. You know, I look at it this way. If you want to align yourself as a networker, you always go after the most influential individuals. Well, who is more influential than God? When I do my work as a spiritual healer, I open a channel to divinity, and I equate it to petitioning or going and giving your company CEO a proposal and saying, you know, I want this or this, or, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, and I'd like to, can we consider this? And Divinity looks it over and he says, yes, no, you know, let's create a team for you, which might be, in this case, a committee of angels to help you get the things that you want. They might say, okay, you've paid this lesson, you've repented, so we're going to eliminate this lesson so we can remove some of this karma.
Wow.
So it's the same type of thing. I kind of want to equate it to what we're used to on this planet. You know, there's no one that can give you more than God can. And what people are swayed by is their ego, their temptations, and they, you know, it's basically about choosing sides. Do you want light or do you want dark?
Right.
Maybe I'm being a little naive, but I guess in my world, I'm kind of feeling that in maybe 90% of the cases, people they do want to do good. They do want to help each other. They do want to be part of the light. And so I guess I have a bit of a confusion because, or maybe, again, being naive, not feeling like, could there really be that much out there that's in the dark, that isn't in acceptance of a higher source, whether you happen to call that higher source God,
right,
or Allah, or whatever name you reference. So maybe help us out with that.
What actually surprised me is that there are fewer people in the light than realized, and there's more temptations now from the darkness than ever, and the darkness has also masked itself as the light. So you will also find light workers filled with darkness. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that some of them have been contaminated by their own clients, and they're not protecting themselves enough, and then they go out and contaminate the other people that they're working on.
Wow.
Unknowingly, they might have, their intentions might be good, but their results aren't.
Hmm.
It's gotten a little unnerving. I end up doing a lot of clearing for other healers because they've been contaminated. I was working with a woman recently who had no idea, even because she's checked with other healers to make sure her energy is good, but she was contaminated and it affected her whole business for the last year. And because it's important for light workers to be stopped, become a little bit more insidious.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, in other words, darkness is really out there doing what it can to, obviously a good target would be the light workers, because the light workers are the people that are spreading the light.
Exactly.
So if you're gonna try to target anybody, let's target them, because those are the ones that are, you know, stirring the pot up.
Exactly.
Got it.
Is there a suggestion from the hierarchy or the angels of what's the best way that we can protect ourselves?
Yes, that's a good question.
You know, I know I've been given specific protection for myself, and that keeps getting upped. It may be specific for everyone. everyone. It's a good question, and I really should ask. I haven't asked in advance about what would be useful as something general for
public.
Anyone, and that's going to be something that I do have to ask, because it is useful information, and I'm sorry I didn't think of that before we got on this call.
No, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe whatever answer you get, maybe you could include that with your blog, with the message that Archangel Michael shared with us.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. I'll ask and see if we can include something.
Yeah, right. That would be wonderful. I would like to know. I'd like to learn how to protect myself the best way possible.
I think that's the beauty of this show, Joy, is that you just don't know what direction it's going to take. And in the course of conversing, what information we all gain and need to know comes out.
Also, you know, the one thing that everybody can do in general is to continue to raise their vibration. Mm-hmm.
And do you have a suggestion of how our listeners can do that? I mean, because in my mind that means meditating and trying to act with good intentions, but do you have another way that you perceive that?
Well, actually, meditation, yoga, those are good physical, mental, and spiritual ways. Thinking higher vibration thoughts, being positive, energetic, happy, taking baths, Epsom salt baths, like for at least a minimum of 2 cups for 45 minutes.
Really?
What does that do?
The salt will take out negativity.
Oh, I didn't know
white
that.
White sage. Lighting white sage on yourself, basically starting at your feet and going up over your head and right. around your body, your home, your car, especially if you've been out in public. Like, I'm big on going to networking events, you know, if I'm out in public like that, it's a good opportunity to come back and sage. I'll sage after I have a consultation with someone. But, you know, if somebody's been out in a public environment in a mall, you never know what you come home with, so that's not a bad practice. And then following your guidance, you know, what God or the angels or your intuition or inspiration tells you, because it's trying to tell you what is for your highest and best good. And the more you follow what is for your highest and best, the more you're raising your vibration in general. Also eating raw natural foods, drinking a lot of water, walking in nature, all that helps. Actually, the Angel Enlightenment logo has a, I don't know what Michael did to it, but it actually will help people raise their vibration. So we actually have products on that website as well that if somebody wears them, or I actually have a mouse pad, I put it under my computer, you know, just little tricks like that just to help raise the vibration.
Right.
Because then you don't attract things that are more negative as well.
I see. And it's all the things that we know we really should be doing, eating healthy, taking care of ourselves, going out in nature, those little things we should
right,
really...
Some of the basics that we should already be doing.
Right, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Now, Joy, can angels take human form? Because that's something that I've always thought about and wondered, and I think that they probably can. I would assume if somebody needs help, and that's the way that they can help, but maybe you have some insight.
Well, only that, I mean, I was told I was an incarnated angel. I still don't understand what that actually means. I have a great connection with angels. They know me. It's funny, the conversation they have sometimes. They tease me. It's like they're very familiar with me, like I've been there doing whatever with them. But it's weird for me because, you know, I didn't grow up feeling that way other than when I was little. It was funny. I always wished I could fly. I was very frustrated that I couldn't fly as a kid. And I always knew that I was here for this particular time. I didn't know what that meant.
Right.
But I don't understand. I do know that there are a lot of angels on Earth at the moment, both on their dimension and in ours. There's a lot of incarnated angels right now. But I'm a very old soul, and I have the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know a thing. It's incredible. We are so limited in our perspective here. It's almost, you feel silly when you think you know something and you want to tell something, because there's so much more behind the scenes.
Right.
We're kind of working in a bit of the dark. I guess I'm questioning, because, you know, I was always under the impression that angels are
special beings,
and that there is no, like, if you're an angel, you're an angel. You're never a person, now you're an angel. It doesn't go back and forth. And what you were just mentioning to me doesn't seem to follow that pattern. I would like to feel that you do have the capability of coming back in human form, but in reality, you belong to the angelic realm. So help me out with that.
Well, I believe that there are some angels that were just angels and always been an angel, and mm-hmm. they just lived in that dimension. And I believe there are other angels who have chosen to incarnate and come in human form to be able to either learn their own lesson or evolve or help others. And I also believe that humans have evolved and have been given wings and have become angels.
Oh.
So if I was an incarnate angel, would I know that I'm, or would I not necessarily know that I actually was an angel?
Maybe not until you cross back over.
Well, I didn't know it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know it. I was told that for myself, and yet I actually dated a fellow once who believed he was an angel.
Oh.
So I thought that was interesting.
Was that before you got involved with communicating with Michael and all of that, or was that like a coincidence?
No, it sort of came out of an offshoot of a conversation about all of this.
Hmm. Can they listen to our prayers? Can the angels hear our prayers?
Oh, absolutely. They actually, Michael starts off the book about how he hears everyone's prayers, and that's one of the reasons he wanted this book to come out, is to tell people that they're definitely heard, and they're actually here trying to help. And often we're in our own way. We're responsible for the outcome of our life and how our life is showing up for us. And we often block whatever they're trying to give us. And he's trying to help us get out of our own way.
Do you think we're blocking it in? Do you think
in a conscious way?
Yeah, or is it just stuff that, like, if we had only been,
we were just oblivious.
I'm even thinking back to, like, going back to childhood when you are such an open person, and you know you're talking to what people are saying, your pretend friend, and maybe it's really your guardian angels,
right,
or your spirit guides and all of that. Do you think maybe some of that just goes back, Joy, to the fact that we've been kind of taught to block this out of our knowledge for such a long time?
I think part of it is that our ability to communicate with the other side has been discouraged. But
yeah,
also, what I find is we're filled with limiting beliefs, negative memories, and karma, and that's holding us back.
Hmm.
One of the things that I've been given the gift of clearing karma, which is part of the work that I do, it's to help people release the problems that they're having currently. For example, I was working with a woman recently who was having trouble getting clients, and we did a clearing that morning, and I saw another life where this is, I painted the picture of how she was living at that time.
Oh.
And the habits that she had then. And she had the same experience this lifetime.
Hmm.
When I was able to clear that by putting into this clearing process to divinity, because divinity is actually the one that clears it, I just help facilitate. That afternoon, she got paying clients.
Wow.
So our results now are often from lifetimes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're carrying habits and beliefs and things that are holding us back, and it's our subconscious, our memory bank and computer that holds all this information. That's the part of us that manifests. So if our child, our subconscious, believes that something is going to be harmful, even though you want it, you're not going to get it. So, for example, a woman I was dealing with recently who was having issues about getting married, there were lifetimes where she had arranged marriages, she was sold off to slavery, she had different experiences that caused her to not have trust in men, not wanting to be married. She had negative memories of marriage, even though she would love to get married, and she believed she really wanted to get married. Her subconscious had these fears that was stopping her from getting married.
Wow. So what we think might be issues in this lifetime are just carryover. They're just residual.
Mostly, yeah.
Wow.
There's some things I do end up working with people that have issues that occurred, and I clear some things for this lifetime. And often when we clear things with our parents, because we sometimes choose our parents to specifically let go of some of these lessons or work through some of these lessons from past lives, that's sufficient. But I pick up things from, I can't tell you how far back, that are affecting people now.
Wow. How do we communicate with angels? How can we... Because I remember hearing that a way that you can communicate with them is just, you know, speaking to them in your mind, or does that work? Are there certain ways that we can try to get their attention?
Open up the lines of communication.
Do we initiate? Instead of waiting for them to talk to us, what can we do?
Just talk to them. They're there. It's amazing because I communicate with them all the time. And I'll give you an example. It has nothing to do with an angel, but I was stuck on something. I'm an avid networker, and I always have too much on my plate, and I take on too many projects and trying to coordinate and manage all these people and projects. And I thought to myself one day, I said, who in the universe would be useful to be able to mentor me in this dilemma that I'm having? And I thought to myself, you know, Benjamin Franklin, he was an avid networker, he was an inventor, he had all these projects, businesses and enterprises. He would probably be really good to talk to. So I kind of put it out there. I said, I'd love to talk to him. And I'll tell you, he was there so fast. It was incredible. So there's really no time and space in this other dimension.
Wow.
And his information was useful. He said, you know, one of the problems I have is I try to do it all at once. He did things more one at a time. And, you know, his advice was great. It was very useful.
Right.
And you could do the same thing with anyone that's on the other side, your relatives.
Okay.
People of note, angels, they're all there. And you just have to tune in to be able to listen.
Right. Now, are there...
They may be giving you information. You may not realize they're giving you information, but if they've been able to download it to you in some way, you may then become inspired to do something you wouldn't have otherwise.
And would you say that the more open and receptive that you are to the download of information, the more you would receive the information?
Yes, and the more you learn to trust yourself. Because when you align with your soul has all the information in the universe that's necessary for your highest good. So when you align with that, and you open yourself to your soul, and you follow the guidance that you get, you'll never be wrong. You'll always do the right thing, and you'll always be in the right place for your highest good.
So you can't go wrong.
No. No, we just get in our own way.
Right, as long as we trust ourselves. I think that's the whole point, is so many times we're not listening to our intuition, we're not trusting ourselves. I think that is the key.
Yes, and we happen to be an ego-based society, and that's what gets us in trouble.
Right. So, are there different kinds of angels? What I mean, because I know there's the archangels, there's, I think there's...
Seraphims
and cherubs, and I was wondering, do you know of the different sorts of angels, and, you know, what are they about?
To be honest with you, I've read a little bit about them. It's not my area. I remember that from the movie that John Travolta was in, and Michael, it's not my area. I happen to deal with the archangels, and I've communicated with other lower realm angels as well. I know not everyone can reach as high to communicate with the archangels, because you have to have your vibration high enough to be able to connect at that realm.
I see. That makes sense, right?
But, you know, everyone has their own guardian angels and angels on a lower realm, and they're all accessible. And it's just a matter of tuning in for their help and their guidance. But I can tell you, this is something else I learned. There are angels that specialize in different things. So if I want to do an art project, for example, I can ask for a committee of angels that will help me with that project. And some of them may be more skilled at art, or that might be more of their area, so to speak. So anytime I want to do something, I will ask for a committee of experts, and they will form to help me do whatever. If I wanted to learn how to drive a car, I could get, you know, it sounds far-fetched, but it doesn't matter, because they have angels available that have certain expertise or are assigned to you for the different projects that you take on, or the different periods of life that you have. Now, what realm they pull from, I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. So you don't need to know which angel it is. You're just putting it out there, and they come to you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think it's interesting, you know, Joy, I almost have to chuckle, because I think of it, you know, my background was corporate, and I think of it almost like if I was planning a project or wanting to do something, I'd go, okay, well, I have to put together a committee of people, and let's just see which are the, okay, I know these people have all the skills that that would really be of value to be able to get this done. And it sounds like it's the same thing.
It is. And
yeah.
They're an underutilized resource.
I was going to say, we should be tapping into this. We don't even have to limit ourselves. This is exciting, because we don't even have to limit ourselves to, like, oh, I need this one angel. It's like, no, this might be something, you might need a committee of people.
You might need a whole team of people.
Yeah, a whole team of angels.
You need a whole team of angels. And why not? It's free resourcing.
And they're all kind of like waiting on the sidelines. I almost feel like, okay, oh yeah, I do that. Yeah, that's my thing. Okay, quick. And almost like with their wings like flying down to, you know, like, okay, good. I got an assignment.
That's funny, because you know what? That's hysterical. I have a book by Doreen Virtue for my daughter about thank you angels. It's called Thank You Angels or something. And it actually says in the book that, you know, they're there waiting for you, and they're there to help you in anything. But, you know, I never took it for, you know, face value of, you know, because I'm thinking, oh, that's a kid's book, you know. But that's exactly what you're saying, so that's really hysterical.
Yeah, they're waiting in the wings. As a matter of fact, I neglected to tell you that Michael's here with us, and there's about 100 angels just on this call.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. This is really incredible to me, because it never, ever hit me that they're like... Well,
they're just hanging out.
We're waiting.
We're here.
Underutilized resource. It's like amazing. Like, we need to be tapping into this. People, listen to this. Tap into this.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
That's really exciting.
I am so excited that information came out, and that people will hear this and realize you don't need to be limited to one angel. There's numerous angels, whatever you happen to need to help you get whatever it is that you're looking to do to improve yourself and improve the world. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there are legions of them.
Legions.
I remember, there are different times where I do things, and I might have 1,000 angels right here at my beck and call.
Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing. So you can talk to them. So if you need them, let's say you're out in public, you can just talk to them in your head. You don't have to say out loud, Archangel Raphael or angel of this or that. You can just talk to them in their head, and they know you, and they'll come to your side, right?
You don't even have to talk to them. They know what's going on in your
life. So they're just there for you. And I guess they work with your guardian angels? Are there guardian angels?
Yeah, there's guardian angels. And you'll have different angels at different periods of your life for different purposes.
Okay. And does everyone have their own guardian angel? Or can you share guardian angels?
Actually, the first time I saw a guardian angel was when I was in L.A. and
You actually saw?
I realized that he was there sharing. He was helping, he was guarding and watching over both my girlfriend, whose home I was at the time, and me. At the time, I realized later it was Michael, but I didn't realize it at the time. I just saw at the bottom of the corner of the skirt, if you could picture it, you see a ceiling, and you have a cloth coming out, like a corner of a skirt hanging off through the ceiling, but it was huge.
Wow.
I've seen the angels, they're small, sometimes small. I remember looking. Here's an example. This is great. I was at my parents' house, and I saw 25 angels outside at the back. And I remember having a dark thought one day, and then I saw the backyard filled with vultures.
Vultures? Wow.
What did that mean?
To me, it was reflective of my thinking that day.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
And so, I guess as time goes on and people open up themselves to communicating, asking for help, reaching, and realize I have to use this word over and over again, because it's legions of angels. I feel that I have to make sure that people realize that there's so many angels out there that are out there to waiting to help people.
Absolutely. They are here to help them. They need to be asked.
Yep.
So people need to reach out and ask, but they're more than willing to help. They want to help. I can't imagine they have all this time on their hands, but I never have enough time.
Right.
It's incredible to me, but they're all really here to help, and they really should be taken advantage of, because
absolutely,
it can make all the difference in your life. It makes life so much easier, fun. I struggled with my computer. Here, I know all about this stuff, right? I struggled with a project on my computer one day. It was not flowing. My computer was, giving me challenges, and nothing was working. I was frustrated. I spent all this time. And finally, I said, Michael, can you help me?
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, I could have done that hours ago.
Sure, right.
It didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the whole project flew.
Hmm.
It became effortless. Now, I don't know what he did to my computer. I don't know what he did to me.
But he made it happen.
And it doesn't matter. I think the problem is that we end up getting caught up in the moment, or the moment being the life of being human, and forgetting that, oh my gosh, and here you are, a person, that this is what you deal with. This is your shtick. You're always working with the angelic kingdom. And yet you forgot. And so we have to make a point to let people know again that this is a wonderful resource that's available. Joy, we're getting close to the end of our time, and we want to ask you the question.
I'd like to know first.
Go ahead. More questions, sorry.
Before we draw near, is there any other messages that they wanted to come through? I just want to make sure we cover all our bases, that our listeners got everything they need to know out and about, because it seems like they can always be sneaking in messages here and there.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, if people want more messages, they go on my Angel Enlightenment blog.
Okay.
Messages from Michael, God, and others.
Okay.
And all, obviously the book, Wisdom of the Guardian, is filled. It's interesting. It's a concise book, but it's packed with information about all of this to help people with their challenges today and understanding about life and the other side and all that.
Absolutely. And we're going to list that book in our store on our website.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right.
I'll get that on.
Just to try to get, target more people.
Wonderful.
Well, Joy, tell us what matters most to you and how you're trying to affect the world and, leave your mark behind. What matters most to you?
Well, right now my assignment is to help save as many souls as possible. So that's my job.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. I think that's a crucial thing at this point in the world where so many crazy things are going on.
And that's what matters most to us too, Joy.
So, if you want to reach Joy, you can visit, she has a couple different websites. So, we've got expresssuccess.net.